Hi, Jim.
Bob Mulhauser here.
Bob Mulhauser.
Leroy Weisner.
Leroy Weisner.
Ross Barkers.
Ross.
Marlisa.
Sorry, missed that one.
Marlisa.
Marlisa. Hi, Marlisa.
Hi.
Bob Lake.
Bob Lake. Hey, Bob.
In the OR.
Sorry, miss. Who was that?
Steve Gackey.
Steve Gackey. Okay, gotcha. Dean Antich. Hi, Dean. Andy. Andy Mitby.
Lance Grant.
Hi, Lance.
Hello.
Okay, did we miss anybody?
Francis there? Francis is in the OR.
And you got
okay.
And you got Chad, Mike, and Barb here in Montesano.
Chad, Mike, and Barb. Okay, well, appreciate you taking the time to join on the conference call today. I think we'll have a similar format to the last couple calls. Ask Chad to present us our most recent information, at least starting with the briefing paper that we emailed out 10, 15 minutes ago. Give folks a chance to ask questions about that, and then I'm going to be wanting to hear from the advisors on your thoughts on next steps for management of the commercial fishery. And then we'll end with a conclusion about what rules are we might put in place or not.
Jim, is this being recorded?
Yes, it is. Let me check. Chad, you got that on?
Yep, I started it the minute you got on the phone.
Okie doke. We're ready to roll.
Okay. So first we'll go over catches for the week. I'll start with Sunday. Sunday was just an opener in area 2U, tangle net. They caught 202 Chinook and 162 Coho. And then on Monday, all other areas opened up. I'll start with 2U. 122 Chinook in area 2U. On Monday, and 135 Coho. In area 2T, just Monday, 45 Chinook and 60 Coho. In area 2R, just Monday, 10 Chinook and 6 Coho. In area 2N, on just Monday, Chinook, 11, Coho, 17. In area 2M, M is in Mike, just Monday, Chinook catch was 31, Coho catch was 131. So, we also had, okay, never mind. So, that leaves us with a total of 38 impacts for the week. Our onboard observations, we had 52 unmarked Chinook to 201 marked Chinook. The dip group fish, out of those 52 unmarked, there were 5 that had wire. Once again, that gives us 38 impacts for the week. Our season total in terms of impacts after yesterday's fishery is 568, which leaves us 4 impacts for the week. That doesn't include catch totals for today. I also have some hatchery data here at Nacelle, and this is up to date. They just sent me this about an hour ago, so this is all the fish that they've gone through to right now. We have at Nacelle Hatchery 4,000. almost double what we had at last week. So those unmarked fish are starting to move up into the rivers. At Forks Creek, it's not a real great sample since it's the hatchery stream. We don't get a lot of wild fish recruiting to Forks Creek anyways, but we had 2,229 hatchery origin Chinook and 75 natural origin Chinook for an encounter ratio of 3.3. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, on that deal on the Forks Creek, that sounds kind of different because the amount of fish they pass up every year is about the same. They pass 2,000 Chinook above the racks on Forks Creek every year.
Yeah. So far they just have the 75 fish, natural origin fish at Forks Creek. They haven't passed any upstream yet. They're holding all that they've got so far for integration into that hatchery program.
I also got a report from a sport fish to actually lower river on the Willapa today, and there is fish in every hole that haven't moved up yet either. He said there's a tremendous amount of fish. They've been fishing that 3-4 times a week. So, and he said they're not biting, and they're getting kind of colorful. I said, oh, really? And I said, I would imagine. So.
Chad, how many fish were supposed to be caught on Sunday?
How many fish were supposed to be caught? You mean in our prediction, the model?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to determine just for a single day. In terms of Chinook catch for all 6 days, we were supposed to catch 266 for all six days.
That's in all areas.
That was the 6 days in all areas, yeah.
So you caught almost all that in one area, in just one single area?
In one day, yeah.
With five boats?
Yeah. Well, we had 8 landings in 2U.
Okay, so 8 boats. So what do you attribute that to? That sounds like a pretty significant catch to me.
Yeah. No, it's definitely higher than what we predicted. I mean, it's hard to say.
So every time we went in, you're saying we've over-harvested, went way over the model?
With what we have for predicted run size, yes.
I mean, it eclipsed everything even.
Yes.
I mean, we're not even in the ballpark, am I correct?
We're close, but yeah, we're definitely higher than what we predicted for everything all the way around. Chinook-wise. Yeah.
So it was close to 50%? I mean, what margin of error? I mean, it seems like we're way off. Like, the first day we doubled our catch.
Yeah.
Once again, I mean, we're not even close to the model.
Yes.
Are we close to Coho?
What's that? I couldn't hear that part.
Are we close on the Coho side of the model?
No. No, we're way low. We should have this week. This week we predicted to catch 3,684 coho. So far this week we have 511. So that, you know, you could see the coho numbers approach by the end of the week, what we thought, but.
What's the total amount of Chinook you got, Chad?
For the week?
Yeah.
For the week is 421 landed Chinook.
That's not counting today.
Not counting today, no. I only have data through yesterday's fishery.
So one day, the whole day, that's 400, and then the 2U fishery.
Yeah. 2U, we caught 202 on Sunday, and then yesterday, the whole bay was 219. With the majority of those, over half of those came out of 2U.
The 2U is almost all the fish.
Yeah.
So, carrying on with Andy's conversation, this is Tim again. We're running above expectation and of the harvest, but aren't we getting there on a weekly expectation, but there's been a lot fewer days and boats than we expected? So,
yes. Yeah, our season total...
We can't
what we predicted to catch was about 5,100 and some. Our expected catch was 5,142. And so far to date, we have landed 4,448 Chinook. So we're just, you know, about 700 short of our season total predicted for Chinook to catch anyways. We have fish half the time.
Did you say 48?
4,448 Chinook landed season total.
I missed that. Something broke up there. I got four.
4,448.
48, okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
When you say landed, that doesn't include release mortality.
No, those are not. That's just the landed catch. The expanded HOR impact value is 4,529. Those are total hatchery origin impacts to date.
Okay.
Okay, so where are we at on our impacts then?
We are at 568 through the end of the week. We have a total of 572, so we got four left, and today's values aren't even in terms of landed catch. So I'm projecting by the end of the day today that we'll be at about 582.
That's the total impact for the entire season, isn't it?
Yes, that would be one higher than the 581 value.
Whoa. So what are we going to do, Jim? You can go and let us know.
So any other questions about the catch impact information?
Jim, when that first conference call, I was hunting and I didn't make it. I think it's when you guys might have shared the observer results, hatchery versus wild. As my understanding, that data was in use to come up with some, was part of the formula in determining what their impacts would be. Is that correct?
That's correct. So if I understand your question correctly, we use our observer information on marked to unmarked ratio to estimate impacts.
Okay, and so what was that number?
Chad, it varies by week. Chad, you want to run through those for us?
Yeah, not a problem. For week 37, which was just the one-day opener, our unmarked to marked ratio, we had 45 unmarked to 217 marked. In week 39, our onboard observation data was 64 unmarked to 153 marked. And so far this week, and this is pretty much up to date, we've got most everything in, even through today's samples. There's still a few outstanding sets out there that will add to this, but as of the conference call, it is 52 unmarked to 201 marked.
Okay, so I've got a question then, because Chad gave the summary of what's shown up at the hatcheries, and it looks like between the nacelle and Forks Creek, you know, you're running somewhere around, I'm just guessing here, looking at the numbers here, somewhere around 10-11% if you combine the two totals. So how do you square that? How can you justify saying the impact is 24% or 42% or whatever the encounter rate was in the
test fishery or the observed result. How do you square that with what's showing up at the hatchery?
Well, I wouldn't expect to have the same encounter ratio in the bay and at the hatchery at the same time. Typically, the hatchery fish start moving into the freshwaters before the wild fish, so you can see a higher encounter ratio in the bay while still having a low encounter ratio at the wrap. What I do see is that the data's kind of backing that up. We had the hatchery fish start to pour into the rack earlier on, and last week we had an encounter ratio at the nacelle hatchery of right about 8%. Now when I add in this week's data, it's about 14%. So what that tells me is last week a lot of the hatchery fish had cleared the bay and were moving into the freshwater. This week, the natural origin fish are starting to follow suit. Clear the bay, and now they're starting to move into the freshwater. That's what that's.
That's what you've seen. That's what you've seen in years past when you look at the numbers, Chad.
Yeah.
For the, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty typical. That there's a week or two lag between peak returns into the freshwater from hatchery origin fish to natural origin fish.
Chad, did you also mention that?
Were we not at like 10% last year to overall at the nacelle hatchery at the end of the season?
I don't have those numbers right in front of me right this second, but that sounds pretty close.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was 10% all the fall, 10% pretty much the whole way through. But
I think so. Yeah, I can pull those numbers up. It'll take me a second, but.
Nah, that's all right.
That sounds about right. I think it was somewhere in the 10 to 13% range off the top of my head.
Chad, the other thing you mentioned was that at Forks Creek anyway, we'd expect a higher mark rate than we might see in the remainder of the river just because of where the hatchery's located on that tributary.
Yeah, I think nacelle is a lot more accurate representation of what you're seeing in the freshwater in terms of origin composition than what you see at Forks Creek. I wouldn't expect a whole lot of wild fish to volunteer other than those natural origin fish that are bound for Forks Creek.
I got one more question on that, Chad.
Uh-huh.
Now, is this not the return at the nacelle hatchery of the year that the pipe blew out and we went ahead and shoved 4,500 fish beyond the rack? Wasn't that 4 years ago?
Oh, geez. I would have to talk to the hatchery staff about that. Off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that question.
I believe that
I wouldn't ask you if I didn't know the answer. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Yeah, I trust you, but I can't say for sure. I'd have to check with Brandy.
Okay.
Other questions? So one.
I got a question.
One more question.
You bet.
I got a question on NEMA. When are they going to put water in the NEMA hatchery to get the fish out of the river into the hatchery?
I spoke with Randy Aho this morning about the NEMA. They still do not have enough water to water up. They typically take their first spawn the first week of October, so they're hoping to be able to fill that pond soon. Obviously, that's weather dependent. We don't have a whole lot moving in this week, although there is some rain forecast for next week. There have been years, Randy has said, that they don't get that pond watered up till the middle of October. So, you know, the plan is to hope we get some rain next week, right now.
If they watered it, question, if they watered it up now, would the river go dry?
well, what Randy told me is they might have enough to water up the pond for one day, but they wouldn't be able to keep the water going. So they're kind of right on the cusp. We just need a little bit more water.
I've got one more question, Chad.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a request put in on Friday to have the ex-vessel value of this season for this meeting. Did you get to that?
Yes, I did. So, before I give those numbers, I want to go over a couple issues. First, the quick reporting that we get within season doesn't have price information in it. That only comes from the lift ticket database, which we'll get later on in the year. So what I was able to do is, as you guys know, we added the X-Vessel calculator to the Willapa Bay TAM model, and that was so that looks at historical 2009 through 2014 average poundage, price per pound, average pound for fish. It gives me an average average price per fish. It's what we have used in the Willapa Bay TAM. Those values were GDP adjusted to second quarter of 2014. This morning, I updated all those to GDP value second quarter of 2015. So it's a relative ex-vessel value. From what I understand, the price is a little higher than what we have been getting traditionally on average. I come up with of about $2.30 a pound. I've seen a few places where it's been listed of $2.80 a pound. So keep in mind, these are just relative values. But what I do have is for the Chinook landings of 4,448 fish gives you a relative ex-vessel value of $142,569. And Coho, once again, Coho, we are running smaller than what the average is, so keep in mind these are relative values. A Coho catch of 1,142 equates to a relative ex-vessel value of 16,275. Those two combined, a season total relative ex-vessel value of 158,844. Anybody have any questions on that?
How long will it be before you have the actual ex-vessel? How long does that take, Chad?
I'll defer to Barb on that. She's more of an expert on lift data. I think it was about 2 weeks they have to get the tickets in the lift.
No, everybody, the buyers have to send their tickets in 6 days. By the time that gets processed, it could be a week or two. Some buyers have to send their tickets in 6 days.
Okay.
Impacted
a hell of a lot better, and the hatchery doesn't want them. They don't want those early fish anyway.
Uh-huh.
And we could have just taken the Chinook and the Coho both and done a whole lot better than what we did, and we wouldn't have impacted the natural spawners as bad.
Okay. Well, we'll need to take another look at it.
I would also like to throw in there that in the Willapa Bay salmon management policy, under fall Chinook salmon, number 5C directs us to not have commercial fisheries in areas 2T and 2U prior to September 16th. And no commercial Chinook fisheries shall occur in areas 2M, 2N, 2D, and 2R until after Labor Day.
And I might counter with that and say, you know, it was totally ridiculous because of the AHA models that you guys run down our throats and everything else. You didn't follow them at all.
Okay, let's see what we're going to do in the fishery.
I don't expect a response back, but that's the absolute part of it.
What are we going to do now?
Okay, so one question I've gotten repeatedly over the last few weeks is, have you been sampling the unmarked fish to do genetic analysis of stock composition? And we have been doing that. We've sampled, I think, about 100 fish, 90 to 100 fish now. And just at noon today, I got the genetic results back. And I haven't had a chance to talk through what it says with staff or really have a chance to look at it myself, other than at first glance is appears to be some non-Willapa fish showing up in the catch, or showing up in the unmarked encounters is probably a more accurate way to say it.
Well, son of a gun, I think we told you that before.
Well, there you go. So my again, I just got that information at noon today. I want to take a close look at that, at least before I would make any firm decisions about further fishing. So let me, again, I can't speak to the results of it because I just haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But any question about the sampling that we've been doing or the genetic analysis information?
Do you even have, at first glance, do you even have a relative? I mean, is there a percentage? Or, I mean, just you saw one or two? Or is that you haven't had time to look at that yet?
Yeah, I mean, I just ran my finger down the spreadsheet and saw, you know, a smattering of non-locals, and that's about the extent of my knowledge right now.
Got any kind of numbers at all, Jim?
I don't. Sorry, Bob.
Is that something you can share or send out?
Yeah. But my thought process is I want to put together a summary of that information and how we would propose to use it, and get that to the advisory group by, I'll say, by Thursday morning or Thursday noon, so that you can take a look at it. And certainly I'm going to be wanting to look at that to understand what the management implications would be.
Tim, again, I assume that you have these designated, the samples designated by marine area they came into?
That would be a good question for Chad Barr.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have the date and the area for each sample.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because I would really like to see that.
So this is Marlisa. On these non-hatchery fish, non-Willapa, unmarked salmon, do you know where they came from with your genetic sampling?
We do. Again, just my quick glance, nothing surprising. They're from, there's some from the Columbia River, there's some from Canada, there's some from the north coast of the of Washington.
So these are, you said unmarked, but I assume, didn't we do genetic testing of the Well, that's right, unmarked. We're talking unmarked in a way.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the critical information for our management.
Right.
Have we made any progress on getting genetic sampling on the stock in North River?
So Mike, was that Mike? Can you talk us through a little more depth on that?
We got some local experts in which we have asked to go down, and amongst our failures in every other way, we're trying to get some guys down there that know the river really well to hook the line and get to do that way. 10-year effort to get genetics through the Department of Sampling to produce 4
question right now. Okay.
By that you mean right now you can't talk about a trade-off for October coho fishery versus November until you understand more of the details of what that trade-off might look like?
Well, we don't know how many impacts we got. If you've obviously got your genetics showing that we haven't done all Willapon natural origin fish, so your impacts are off. But we don't know how many impacts you got left. Obviously there's not enough to continue fishing tomorrow, I'm assuming.
Right.
So, the discussion now, I mean, I think we're done here until we get the numbers for Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta agree with Andy on that, too. Without having the full structure, the way we're set up, because you guys set us up for failure to start out with. No doubt about it, by putting us back in that time frame. When, in fact, we could have had some directed Chinook fisheries in the south end of the bay the way it was supposed to have been originally designed. We were supposed to stay on 2T, that's correct. But we were supposed to be able to fish in 2N and 2M and 2R. We wasn't given that choice the way it came down, the way it was figured. And then you set us back into the non-marked fish when there was more of them. So, I mean, it kind of, when we're set up for failure, and now we're still trying to dink around here, you've got all kinds of fish in the rivers, but yet we're looking at these numbers coming back on the unmarked stuff. Now we find out, well, it wasn't all local fish. We told you that. Only people don't want to listen.
Well, I hear your perspective, Bob. What I think is useful is we have taken those samples from the unmarked fish, and we have done the genetic analysis, and that allows us now to make an informed management decision.
Hey, Chad, when you're running that model, does the model calculate for full fleet, or does that model just running full fleet all the time? Is that how it runs?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's based off
the harvest rates from 2010 through 2014, those weekly harvest rates.
Right.
So it is inclusive of the effort that we would see historically in those time frames.
What does our effort look like this year on the stuff that you looked at, you know?
It's a little, it fluctuates pretty wildly this year. I guess that just has something to do with the catch. Yesterday's, I think, was 32, which is right about average, maybe a little bit less.
So 32 what, boats or fish?
32 landings.
Okay.
So that's significantly lower than a year like last year.
Not significantly, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it is a little on the low side. Overall, on average, across all days, we are definitely low in terms of effort. But yesterday's effort of 32 boats is pretty typical for what we see this time of the year, this week.
Right, but my point is, now you've got low effort. We've over, according to your model, we've over-harvested every week. You've had a high number of, a high catch rate in just 2U alone. That does not attribute to, I don't know what you want to attribute it to, but it seems like your model's just so far off.
Well, that's him again. The model itself relies, in my view of it, not on the pressure or the number of boats, but actually it's coming off of the commercial landings and the onboard observer reports, the percentages of encounters.
Yeah, that would be an accurate statement. The encounter ratio is higher than what we predicted in every time that we fished.
But it's based off the total fish landed, and if you were to put more boats out there and somehow that pressure created more landings, you'd have more impacts.
Yeah.
So it's
exactly the point. I think that's the point, exactly, Tim. You're right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't disagree with that. That's what we've been trying to get across.
That's 100%. If we had 60 boats out there, you had your impact caught quite fast.
Could be, yeah. Unless the fish were divided up to, if the same number of fish per boat was landed, that'd be correct. But if those fish
probably
were divided up amongst
which probably, for just so that everybody understands how this works, it's kind of like when you go sport fishing and you've got 60 guys on the bank fishing and no one's catching a fish, they don't stay there very long. But if you've got 60 guys out there gill netting and they're catching fish, they're going to be there from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. So if you look at the fishery this year, these guys that are going out and making landings, they may go out and fish for low water. They may make an ebb drift and a low water drift, and then they go home. On a normal time, when there's fish, they're going to make every drift, you know, 15 times a day.
Yeah.
So it multiplies not only by the fact that there'd be twice as many boats, but they're going to fish three times as hard.
Right. And my only point is that the pressure, the number of boats, really doesn't affect the model. It's the landed catch. And if you have more boats, you get more landed catch, or you divide the fish up, fewer fish per boat. But at the end of the day, it's the impacts on the north.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not right, Tim. That doesn't work quite that way. And Lance tried to explain it to you. The thing is, if you only go out, I went out and made two sets today for nothing. All I did was feed the seals. So you tell me, you know, there's nothing there in 2T. Period.
Yeah. Period. And my point, Bob, was not on the economic impact or the number of fish that you get in your boat or set. The model is driven by the impacts and by the landings. So if whatever the landings may be, there it is. It is what it is. So it doesn't change by pressure. One of the parts that I agree with Lance with is that it would seem to me that if you had a lot more pressure, you would have a lot more impacts, and we'd be further across the line than we are today.
Correct.
Unless the same amount of fish were caught, means fewer fish in the boat. I mean, if it's
all
caught
fish, we're
what was that? The ball broke up in that one.
I'm saying that if we caught the same amount of fish with 60 boats as we did with 30, it wouldn't change anything. If you caught twice as many fish with 60 boats as you did with 30, it would double it. So it's the...
Well, exactly. That's
right. But the problem that you're not looking at, Tim, is that the fact that the fish that we're fishing on right now are supposed to be coho. That basically the salmon we're catching are an incidental catch. So what I'm saying is, if there was coho like there should be, and you were able to go out and catch 100 coho a day instead of 5 a day, those impacts would not only be doubled, it would probably be tripled, and because you're going to always catch, you know, for every group you make, you might catch one salmon. But a guy that's only catching 5 silvers today is only going to make 2 or 3 drifts. A guy that's catching 100 silvers, because that's what you're trying to catch, is you're trying to catch silvers right now, your impact level is not only going to go double, because you're going to have, I guarantee you, twice as many fishers when there's fish there to catch. It's like we've always told you, if there's fish, we'll be there. If there's no fish, we won't be there. So as we go forward in time, that's all I'm trying to say is, remember, this fishery would be done in one day. Your coho fishery would clean up your salmon impacts in one day. So you can't have a late coho fishery, because the impacts are too heavy in September 20th through the 1st of October. You can't. You guys don't say that September 15th is our coho fishery, and the gill netters are supposed to go catch coho. You cannot do it with this program. It is impossible.
That's what I was trying to say earlier about those early coho coming in. You know, we totally got aced out of those. Do we have any coho in the hatcheries yet?
I've got no reports of coho.
A few have showed up the nacelle today. They processed a few of them.
Okay.
Not many.
Did they take eggs, Steve?
No, they're green.
Knocked them in the head and shipped them out?
No, they just put them in the adult pond.
Okay. Good. That's good clarification. Okay.
Are they saving fish there, Steve, or are they just saw the salmon, are they shipping them out still, or are they saving any?
They're definitely saving the wild fish. They did surplus.
You mean naturals?
Yeah, the naturals, you know, they're green. They're putting in the pen and saving them. But there was a Penske truck there that went out with I don't know how many totes of just, you know, round fish. They did take a few eggs, but most of the fish were round that they surplus.
Okay, I want to move on to our next steps here. I think Andy suggested 15, 20 minutes ago, and several others, we're going to close the fishery at the close of today. So run the fishery through the expected closing time today. The impacts are in the range of our preseason projection. What I want to do as a next step then is analyze that genetic information and schedule a follow-up call with you on Friday to talk through what it means and what our options are for the remainder of the season. So my suggestion would be a 3 o'clock call on Friday. We could do it earlier if that would match folks' schedule better. We could push it back to 4 p.m. Friday.
I got a question, Jim.
Yeah, bud.
If in fact, if we wanted to reopen the fishery in, I don't have
Monday.
The schedule right here. On Monday, we'll need to know earlier than later, I think, for the fishermen.
Okay.
So if we had to, how about 1 o'clock? Would that be better?
I could certainly do 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and I think, Jim, from a staff standpoint, an earlier the better, so we could get on any e-rig stuff on a Friday would definitely be beneficial to us.
Okay. Yeah. How about 1 p.m. Friday?
1 p.m. I think would be ideal.
You're going to have that stuff sent out to us by Wednesday or Thursday?
No later than Thursday noon.
Okay.
And you will send us an email on the call-in number and everything?
You betcha.
With that information?
Yep.
Have it all in one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I will send out, as soon as I will schedule that conference call tomorrow, the Friday, 3 p.m., and send everybody the call-in number and pin tomorrow.
Well, can you put it together with me? Send one email with everything.
Okay.
This one is 1 o'clock, not 3, right?
What's that?
1 o'clock.
1 p.m.
Yeah, 1 p.m. Right. Sorry. Yeah, that was my fault. 1 p.m.
This is Ross. I have a silly question about the genetics. You're talking, I think, about possibly reducing the impact for some small percentage of these unmarked Chinook that mathematically came from someplace else. Let's say that obviously our fish aren't immune to straying. So when we lose fish to another bay, you add that to our impact. Seems like it would work both ways.
Yeah, well, I guess I think we're going to have a full discussion of the genetics information on Friday. Right now I'd rather not speculate on what it means or doesn't mean. So this all those questions are all good questions, and let's prepare for that Friday discussion at 1 o'clock when all of us have something in our hand that we can take a look at.
Very good.
Okay, folks, we'll see you then.
So here we're going to see genetics. We're going to see genetics by area by day of catch.
Yeah, I think I heard of there's by area and week. I think. Well, we're going to have to look at.
That's fine.
What we've got. Okay. Thanks again, folks.
Jim, one last question.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing a call, or will you still be back doing this call?
he will return to his post.
I believe Steve won't be back till